When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. Oh, man, the kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. 'Cause the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good.
Many a man would face his gun, and many a man would fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance.
He was the bravest of them all.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Republic of Texas Radio. And we are on republicbroadcasting.org. We will soon be joined by our host, Steve O'Brien, and my other co-host, Alan Crutcher. I played that song for a few reasons. One, my good buddy Doc Green played it a while back, and it reminded me how much I like that John Wayne movie. Two, it talks about people stepping aside and letting people run them over, and very sad that people will put up with things for a long, long time until they finally just reach the breaking point. And the problem is sometimes the people on the government side see it one way, and the people who are being governed and think government has gotten out of hand see it a totally different way. And the people in power use that power, and they can destroy people. Well, we haven't talked in quite a while, but this morning, the first hour, we're going to update you on the Susie Kamik story. And I want to touch base just a little bit because, unfortunately, I had the displeasure of being a part of that and treated in a way that I didn't think was right. Originally, for those of you who may not remember or haven't heard the story, Susie Kamik is a single mom living out in Hunt, Texas, in the Kerr County area, and found out that an ex-husband had taken out a mortgage, skipped the country, and she knew nothing about it, and they were trying to foreclose on her home. Well, she tried, like in that song, The Man with the Law Book, to do everything legal and possible and peaceful and friendly. And that was her intention, was just to tell her story so they wouldn't take her home. It meant a lot. She had just lost both parents. She had a young man she's raising, her son, trying to give him a place to call home. And at that time, I was a mediator, basically. We called it a common law chief justice, but basically I was a mediator. And she had called me in tears and asked me, would I mediate and we get everybody together so she could tell her story? Because she said to this point, nobody would listen. And I thought, my God, if you're on the government side and you hear that somebody's trying to foreclose on a home and you hear this story and you think it could have been my family, why wouldn't you want to hear the story and help her? So anyway, I said, sure. I couldn't see any wrongdoing, nothing but good intent. The poor lady was in tears when she called me. And it just broke my heart that something like this could really happen in this country that should be so great. So anyway, we were going to try to get everybody together, and they used old common law, old English paperwork, and things like writ of mandamus and writ of quo warranto and the old-fashioned subpoenas that none of us even remembered. And it got looked at by some government individuals in the Kerr County area as totally different than how we saw it. Everything we did was out in the open, friendly and peaceful, nothing to hide, no secrets, because we were sure we weren't doing anything wrong. We're just trying to help her get a chance to tell her story and save her home. If you can imagine, in 1 year she lost both parents, and then she's trying to fight to save her home. And she said she'd been in and out of court, and nobody would ever listen. And we couldn't understand that, so we thought, great. And my small portion was to be the mediator and put a seal on a piece of paperwork. And anyway, it all went south. It was a nightmare. And we're lucky because Alan Crutcher, our co-host, is going to be on in just a moment. He was at this most recent event at the courthouse when Susie was brought in. For a lot of you that may have forgotten, she was in jail now for the last 60 days. And it appears, I say appears because I don't know all the facts for sure, but it appears that they arrested her for violating her probation, but they neglected one little thing. They never put her on probation because they were in the process of appealing. And even though she had fired the attorney that did nothing for her, the appeal process had gotten started, and because of that, she never got put on probation. Well, I will let Alan and Steve, because Steve talked to her in length, go into more detail on what happened at the courthouse, but she's out now, and once they realized that there was a mess up, they couldn't get her out of the jail fast enough. Now, this is a lady that served 60 days in jail, plus both her and I were incarcerated for a few days way back over some silly pieces of paper of trying to do something really good. And I want to bring to mind to everybody, I don't care whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, I personally don't think very much of her, but recently the director of the FBI said, when he was being grilled on why he didn't push for prosecution, he said, nobody in this country should ever be prosecuted when their intent was good and they weren't even aware of the law that they possibly could have broken. Now, he stood up and said that for her over and over again, and yet Susie and I, and especially Susie, suffered a great deal when the intent was great and we didn't know of any laws because we certainly didn't think we were breaking one. We certainly wouldn't have had we had known that. So anyway, Steve, are you there?
I am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Steve. Alan, are you here?
I believe so.
Well, good morning. I want to say one last thing, and then I'd like you gentlemen to comment on the parts that you know much better than me. Initially, when Susie and I met with these attorneys way back, they both told us, and they sounded a lot like the FBI director, they said that your intent was nothing but good. This is ridiculous, and there's no excuse for dragging everybody through all this. We'll take care of it. Don't worry. And 30 days later, we were told, we can't win. You better do this and do that. And we were screwed. So bring us up to date on what happened through the court stuff, gentlemen, and the recent conversations that you had with Susie, Steve. And we'll take it from there.
Oh, let's start.
Well, I don't know, Steve. You want me to go first? Because I was in the courtroom, but then I haven't talked to her afterwards. I don't really know exactly what happened afterwards. You've talked to her since.
Well, how about tell us about the courtroom, and we'll let Steve put the icing on the cake because he did talk to her.
Okay, yeah. First thing, you know, we were sitting there, and John and we were looking for the courtroom. We found a reporter for the San Antonio Express, Zeke. I forgot what his last name is now. Sorry, Zeke. But John knew him, and he wasn't planning on going to that court session. He was there for something else. And he got to looking in and found out which courtroom they were in, you know, and ended up he sat in the courtroom with us. And, of course, you know, the judge and everyone knew who he was because he's, you know, the court reporter for the paper. I really don't know if it was a combination of the reporter being there and John and I, you know, actually some other bodies sitting there in the courtroom paying attention to what was going on, whether that had something to do with it or if it was just all procedural. Because first thing off, yeah, when they marched her in, it almost brought tears to my eyes. I mean, this hardened criminal. I mean, you would have thought that she was, you know, was some mass murderer come from Dallas or something. Except for he'll probably get better treatment. You know, she was in, you know, leg chains, you know, chains around her waist, you know, her wrists, you know, were manacled, and she had a mask over her face because she wouldn't take their vaccinations that they wanted to give her in the jail. So she refused those. So they, anytime she went out in public, apparently they had to put a mask on her so she wouldn't spread her deadly germs. You know, this hardened criminal, and just really pitiful of what they had done to her. I mean, I could tell that she had not had an easy time. You know, I could tell she visibly aged. You know, in those 2 months that she's been there, she's had definitely not had an easy time of it. But anyway, the proceedings started, and she got up. They allowed her to get up and stand in front of the judge and, you know, ask questions and produce, you know, evidence that she had. And but the one main thing that I got out of that was she asked the judge, she said, "I would like to know, is this a common law court or is this a statutory court?" And the judge thought about it for a minute and he said, "It's a statutory court." And okay, that was settled. That kind of surprised me that he would admit that. And it proceeded, you know, back and forth. They gave the charges against her, and she actually did pretty good. You know, she refused to, you know, submit to their probation, you know, for the fingerprints and everything else that they wanted. And she was non-complying, I guess, is what you would call it. Did not think it was right. The judge, I thought, actually seemed fairly fair, you know, when they brought the witness up to ask him to identify, you know, the defendant. He said, the lady sitting right there in the tan jumpsuit, and the judge says, "Well, isn't there some more distinguishing feature that we can see right now?" And like the mask on her, you know, so he actually had a little comedy to him. And he did, it seemed like he gave her, you know, several times, you know, he was almost trying to help her along. Whether that's true or not, you know, this is just what I perceived. I don't know the man, really. But he was up there. He was talking about, and if Art or someone's out there can call in, someone who knows a little bit more about this, the judge was in there talking about her constitutional rights, but he had just earlier admitted that it was a statutory court, which to me, that's, am I right? Is that not like oxymoronic? I mean, that's kind of a, no. They don't go together. They don't mix oil and water.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out this whole, what's the big deal about him admitting it's a statutory court? And I understand. I've heard this from a bunch of people. I know it's a statutory legal system. So that doesn't freak me out that much that a judge would admit to that. So, but
he's been sitting there talking about constitutional rights that she has.
Oh, right. Which I mean, they believe that the statutory legal system is stacked on top of the Constitution. And, it, you know, we know that it's not. But that's the way that they perceive it. Do you disagree, Alan?
I guess not. You know, like I said, this is what I'm trying to figure out. I've not sat in too many courtrooms. But, you know, I was watching, you know, like I said, everything that he was doing and listening to everything. What it did surprise me also, I had no idea this had gone on, was that when the prosecutor from the Attorney General's office stood up and I think kind of stunned his little girl that was with the county that was there with him at the prosecutor's table, when he said there might be some procedural error. You know, she was taken into custody on this date, and by that date, even if she was on probation, the probation wasn't to the point of where she had to be mandatorily picked up for not complying. So apparently they jumped the gun on just about everything.
His
little cohort up there, she kind of sat there and stammered and and didn't really say anything. And last I knew was that the judge said, "Well, we're going to revoke probation now because it was, you know, of the time, and the appeal had been dropped," and he said, "We're going to revoke position," and they marched her out of the courtroom. And that was the last I knew of it until the next morning when I went to work with John, and he said, "Well, she got out." So maybe you can pick up from there, Steve. That's about all I
had. Yeah. Let me pick up in the middle, because the whole thing starts, right? And it starts with Susie's inability to get recourse or redress of grievances through the statutory legal system. So she'd been dealing with all these guys that are trying to foreclose on these houses, and it wasn't just her one house that her ex-husband had taken some money out, forged her signature, you know, the bank screwed up, you know, that all happened.
Both their names.
So what happened was, at this point, she's frustrated, right? The legal system's just running roughshod over. She reached out to the Republic of Texas, thetexasrepublic.com, who at the time was getting together a common law grand jury. Now, common law grand juries are real things. They're defined within the Constitution. There's even Supreme Court justices, I believe it was Scalia, said that Supreme or common law grand juries are real. Everybody has a right to those. So the Republic of Texas was doing this, and they'd subpoenaed two individuals. And well, from what I heard, they took exception to a single word on that when the judge that was hearing the foreclosure case and the defense attorney, I guess, or whatever, took exception to these words. Well, that turned out to be a whole chain of events came from that. They go, hey, this lady and these people, the Republic of Texas, are attacking us. Do you see this? Are you going to let that stand? So no, they're going, no, we're not. And we're going to come down on them like, well, you know, something on stink or flies or whatever. So they came in on Valentine's Day in 2015. Was it just last year, Doc? Am I getting that right?
Oh, unfortunately, it was last year. Yes, sir.
Last year on Valentine's Day, we had the Valentine's Day raid of the Republic of Texas, a multi-jurisdictional task force of, multiple counties of sheriffs. You had state troopers, the super rangers. You had everybody, feds. Just they're crazy, right? And they all come in and they say, okay, we're going to take your stuff, right? Well, why? Shush, don't do anything. So they took computers, they took everything, they took electronic devices, phones, papers, this and that, and that's another story, the papers. But they searched the whole place, and, you know, the only thing they gave back was the guns. That was kind of funny. But anyway, so that started this whole thing because Susie Kamik was trying to redress her grievances through the common law grand jury system of the Republic of Texas. Now, we fast forward to the point where the statutory legal system decides they want to take, they want their redress of grievances. So they file within their system, and the charge was simulating a legal process. The simulation of a legal process is, that's not technically correct. But Dave Krupa and Susie Kamik, you know, as the snowball started rolling, you had to make a decision whether they stand up there, free man on the land, you know, I'm going to take this whole thing on, and bam, 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 or grab an attorney. Now, people were yelling from both sides of the court, right? Not the court. talking about which way to go on this. Well, they ended up getting attorneys. Dave Krupa took one avenue. He has a lot more. Well, he did not have a lot more responsibility. He had a lot of decisions he had to make. He went ahead and just decided to you know, okay, guys, really didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I was trying to get the parties together to talk through a common law grand jury. Scalia has even talked about that. You know, what do you guys want to do? You want to hurt somebody? We weren't trying to hurt people. So that happened with Dave, and so he's my co-host now, and I don't like him to talk too much about this particular subject until, well, he's free to talk, because at the point where you're still on probation, you got to walk on soft shells, try to walk on the sand. But here's the deal. At that point, Susie goes to trial for this whole thing, and I see that we have Kathy in Illinois on the line, but just hang in here. Let me try to at least get us up to speed. Susie goes to trial, and her little her bumpkin of an attorney, well, that's the break, her bumpkin of an attorney is probably the most incompetent or sold-out individual. Doc, bring us to break.
We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please hang in there with us. Kathy, we'll get to you on the other side of the break.
Poor water quality is a major health issue, and it's only getting worse. Municipalities can't keep up, standards have dropped, and pollutants are increasing. Where does it all end? It ends by keeping the pollutants outside of your home with HydroCare's advanced systems available at Wave Home Solutions. No less than the best purification materials and processes have been developed by HydroCare to provide you with healthy, clean water for drinking, cooking, and showering. HydroCare far surpasses the competition in removing chlorine, odors, iron, lead, chemicals, limescale, and much more. Don't settle for less when it comes to your water. We'll take care of the toughest water problems for you, whether it's from a city or well source. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-997-WAVE. That's 888-997-WAVE. Or go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we are back. Our host, Steve O'Brien, is going to finish up, and then we're going to bring Kathy from Illinois in, and we'll probably be back and forth on this all this first hour. Steve, you want to go ahead?
Sure, and I'll try to keep it just, you know, just the facts. So Susie gets a bumpkin for an attorney, and the bumpkin proceeds to, well, do a terrible job arguing the fact that the Republic of Texas common law grand jury did not simulate anything, that it was a true common law grand jury that never really formed because of the raid, and you know, whatever. So they go ahead and they charge her with three counts of simulating a legal process, and they convict her of that because of the bumpkin. I mean, oh God, I won't go there. So at the end of the trial, what happened was, okay, Susie, you're guilty. You do 1 year for each one of those counts, and you do probation, and yada, yada, pay some money. And she goes, okay, but we're going to appeal. And he says, that's your right to appeal. Then the prosecutors, well, not really the prosecutors, the probation people come walking over there, and they're holding this paperwork. Hey, we need to get you signed up on probation. And she says, oh, okay, and then starts dealing with it. And, well, at that point, there's a little box on the probation thing. Now, it's called the Four Corners Rule. Anything on a document is part of the document. If you have a line with an X and a signature with a name by it, that's part of the document. But the Four Corner Rule means that that is really not part of the document. That's removed or superseded or something else like that. And she sees this little box, and they go, put your thumbprint here. And she goes, no, that's, I got a copyright on my biometrics, and I'm not giving you that. And they go, but we need it to finish the probation. Says, well, I'm appealing, so don't worry about it. But we just need a thumbprint. Well, they never got their thumbprint. And in fact, for the next, man, I don't know how, it was months, she'd go over to the courtroom for this or that, and then they'd come running out with clipboard going, hey, Susie, hey, can we finish off this paperwork? She says, no, don't want to do it. They end up going after her and going and hitting her while she's at school with her son Nick and doing the cuff and stuff thing and dragging her off to jail. Now, that was 60 days ago. They, well, kidnapped her. Well, they thought they had probation on her, but obviously the system doesn't look for, you know, probation or violation of probation. Somebody just jumped the gun or somebody did something. It's kind of crazy because they threw her in jail, and she sat in jail for 60 days. Now, at that point, what's the right term? We started going, well, why is she in jail, right? Is she serving out her time from the sentence because she violated probation? Because they were not talking. In fact, they were doing so much to her, and we'll get into that. But what we ended up having was a guy on the outside filed a writ of mandamus, and they stalled the paperwork with her signature on it. So she filed another writ of mandamus, and a writ of mandamus says, well, show me the proof, guys. What are you charging this individual with? And, where is the individual? Let's hear it out. Let's figure out what's going on. So Susie filed this thing, and so this thing went sideways on him really quick about 2 weeks ago, because on Tuesday they figured out, oh my God, another judge from another county called up to Kerr County and said, okay, do you have one Susan Rebecca Kamek? And they're like, yeah, what for? Well, violation of probation, but she was never on probation. He goes, oh my God. Now, I don't know that that happened, but I do know that that writ of mandamus and the timing is very suspect. So there was a little bit of stuff, and they, well, went ahead and ejected Susie from jail 30 pounds lighter. Well, what kind of a diet program is that? I don't know. Back to you, Doc. I just wanted to fill in kind of some of the gaps. Did Doc disappear on me? Nah, you didn't.
Yeah, I'm back. Hit the button, and it didn't come up. Real quick before we bring on Kathy, please hang on for just a second. Alan mentioned and you mentioned about what was the big deal about statutory court. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't say we're going by the Constitution and in the other side of your mouth say we're going to go with the statutory stuff. And there's the break, folks. We are sorry. That was a short segment. We will be right back. Kathy, please stay with us. We want to hear what you said. We'll be right back.
Intentions, I was shy to pay attention. It's like you said. It's in my head. I can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on you and I. Wouldn't miss it for the sun.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contests and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
We are back. Hey, Kathy, let's go to you. Are you still there?
Yeah. Hello?
Well, welcome, Kathy. What's
Hi,
on your mind?
Yeah, I just have a comment. Now, with this original problem that this woman had, if the ex-husband forged her signature, how is it that the bank can take her home? Because she never agreed to the loan. If she didn't know about the loan and he did a criminal act and he forged her signature, how could they possibly take her home? She could probably, you know, prove it wasn't her signature. And if this man took the money from the loan and skipped out of the country, and it's kind of obvious what happened, it's kind of obvious what he did. I don't see how they can go after her.
Can I field that one, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we had a problem with mortgages a while ago, Kathy, and I know you've probably been following that, where the banks were sitting there taking out or signing up people for, quote, death grips or mortgages, and they'd sign the paperwork, and they're supposed to keep the original documents. Well, they'd go ahead and, they'd get the documents, they'd scan the documents, and they'd burn the documents. So what you're left with is no clear chain of title. Well, they don't care about clear chain of title, and you can't do handwriting recognition or expert opinion or anything like that off of, well, forged document, robo-signed documents. The mortgage industry is kind of a mess. And they just want their money. And so she wasn't able to argue that because they don't have the document. They don't have a clear chain of title. All they have is, well, they believe that she owes them money.
No, but well, see, the thing is, it's always on the burden of proof is always on the accuser, number one. She could say, well, you prove it. You prove that's my signature. It's not.
Kathy. Kathy, you are making great common sense. You're giving all the arguments we gave. And Susie was in and out of court and told us they not one time ever let her talk or explain or do what you just said. It was like, we're going to take the house and it doesn't matter. And instead of the local government saying, this is wrong, we can't let a mortgage company do this to us, a single mom, they attacked her. And we've never understood what's going on or why. It makes no sense, and especially in light of hearing the FBI director the other day, because Susie's intentions were what every mother should have, is to save her family home and take care of her child. And she tried to do it peaceful and respectful. And just like you said, burden of proof should be on those trying to take your home, but they ignored everything, and that's where we got involved and everything went south, because they claimed that there was simulating legal processes. There wasn't. It was old law, old English common law, out in the open, no secrets, just trying to get people together so we could do what you said. They even claimed they had a notary that verified her signature that she never signed, and she couldn't get anybody to give her a chance to prove that that was wrong or make them prove that they had something truthful.
Yeah, so the notary lied then. The
exactly.
Notary lied.
Exactly, but nobody could ever get them in court.
They never produced that evidence, did they? Kind of like when the envelope that supposedly she returned for her probation thing, that she'd supposedly written something across the front of, they couldn't produce that in court, you know, to show that it was her handwriting or anything. You know, the little probation guy was not a handwriting.
Oh, but Alan, on that case, the arresting officer, he re-hand-typed that entire letter and created a simulation of Susie's letter that she allegedly sent because they lost the letter. So they handed in a simulation of her letter, but he remembered every single word of that letter. They actually entered that into record, right, as evidence. And it's something that he printed, something that came from his fingers to the keyboard. But he remembered every single word. So the court system, this thing, the statutory legal system, I don't know what they deal
totally
with.
Corrupted
truth.
Court system. This is just more proof that the whole thing is just totally corrupted, too big to fail, too big to jail, whatever you want to call it. The ones that have the money have the power.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem. I met with these gentlemen from Boston, and they truly believe, and this is why I say you can't have it both ways, that the statutes veto the Constitution. Now, the Constitution clearly says when a law or statute or whatever you want to call it is made that goes against the Constitution has precedent. They don't see it that way. They think they're doing good. They think they're doing their job. And I don't know what's going on, but when I met with them, I told them that I thought the problem was you wake up in the morning, you have taxpayer dollars to go after people, and the average person can't fight you, and they don't even know in some cases that they broke a law, and yet they're in trouble. Most people are good people. Susie is a wonderful person who tried everything, and that's why my song at the beginning of the show about Liberty Valance, because in that movie, the guy came out and tried to do things with the law book, and he did everything legal possible and peaceful and friendly, And it didn't matter. Finally, at the very end, he was called out by Liberty Valance, and there was a gunfight. And thank God our friend John Wayne was in the movie. He took care of that.
What about trial by jury? She could have had a trial by jury. Most people would see what has happened. Now, this ex-husband, I don't know what country he ran to. It's kind of obvious what happened. He stole from her. He committed fraud, and he stole from her. It's kind of obvious what happened. And most people would favor her for that reason. Also, she could, can't she turn it around, try to, and say that...
Go ahead. Sorry.
They're colluding with... She could possibly charge them with fraud and saying they're... Well, I understand that the system is so corrupt it probably wouldn't work, but, in a way, the bank is also colluding with fraud because... They should understand that this guy scammed her. Although I know what you said about them being corrupt, it won't work. But in a way, the bank is committing a crime because they.
They're a bank.
Yeah. I know. And another,
I wonder if there's any way she could have this guy.
Charge with the crime, and then like an international warrant. I don't know if they would bother doing that.
Yeah, I really don't know. But you know what, Kathy? One thing I can tell you, I've been I haven't wanted to bring Susie on the air because of some of what, and I'll speak for her to a certain extent as far as what I've known and gotten from her. But last time that she was on a radio show last year, they used her words against her, and I don't want her to be on the air with me and me to hurt her even just sideways. I can ask her a lot of these questions, and I can sit there and I'll recant them to you as we go over time. We definitely we're live with this issue. We've gone about over a year with this entire thing, and it's not over because these guys have pie on their face, if nothing else, and they're going after the people that just kidnapped Susie and going after me. They're filing letters and papers and forms and all that other stuff using the statutory legal system on themselves. But I'm curious to all your questions, too. I've been dealing with this case. I've talked to her before about that, and I've heard Susie talk about, her ex-husband who ran to Spain, right? He was Spanish, and, it was kind of weird because not only did he take out a mortgage, forge her signature, receive a check in her name, deposit into his own account without her signature. Now, that's illegal again, too. So, but they didn't care. They just said, that was a procedural error.
Wouldn't let that evidence come up in court, would they? I never heard that evidence in court.
She told me about that. So
right, I'd heard about that too. But during she did have a jury trial. But as far as I know, that evidence was never allowed to be presented. That the signature was faked, and there was no clear evidence that that she had any idea that this loan had been taken out, this mortgage.
Maybe the thing to do is to have a lot of people in the public in that area. I guess it's in Texas. If you can get a lot of people. Picket the mayor's office or the prosecutor's office and make a huge stink of it, because it's horrifying.
I'm filled with horror. Are throwing eggs at Susie and going, "How dare you?" They've made her out. They don't know the story. The Zeke, the other writer that Alan was talking about, he was there for the hit piece to make fun of her. And they did make fun of her. And I heard that even with her getting out of jail, Kathy, they had her in jail, and this all starts from the mortgage thing, in there with shackles on her feet, on her hands, around her waist, in an orange jumpsuit with a blue mask on in the front of her, you know, face. And they, you know, they're going like, yeah, we got some problems. But they're, you know, they're parading her around like, you know, well, their property, because they did kidnap her, so whatever. But it wasn't handled very nicely, and I hear that Zeke's piece wasn't very nice either. But
a big problem here is that the average everyday person hears this story, and they don't know the whole story, and they just assume, well, she must have done something wrong, because people don't want to believe, none of us want to believe that there could be this kind of a system that is so unfair. You said, yeah, Kathy, she should have had a jury trial. She did. Everybody at the trial was 100% sure when it was all over she'd be innocent, and yet she was still found guilty.
Yeah. Is there any way more people in your area, if they, you know, if they learn the truth, they could put public pressure on the authorities? They could picket, or they could go to the media, or they can show up constantly and badger them.
I wish we could reach them. The truth is, Susie has more support than most people in this situation. You know, she has the support of friends like Alan and myself and John, right? Not to mention others that have been with her the entire time. And we'd love to try to bring that, you know, up there. But man, people don't pay attention, Kathy. They're busy with breads and circuses.
You know, yeah. They can't believe how corrupt. I mean, even if you live in some small, quaint little town, it's hard to believe how corrupt the whole system has become. And they don't want to accept it, because they don't ever see it unless they're pulled in front of it.
But we'll try. Yes, we will always try, Kathy.
Yeah, well, and I go back to what the FBI director just said. He said, never in this country do we prosecute somebody for ignorance of the law when their intent was good, and they weren't aware that they were even doing anything wrong. Never do we do that. Yet, at his level, he doesn't even know what's going on in Susie Kambic's case. If he did, I have a feeling he would stop it in a heartbeat.
But he also lied.
You're not innocent unless you're at their level.
Yeah. That FBI guy, he lied, Doc, just to get you straight. You know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. That is browbeat into you since you were a kid. We all know he lied, right? The FBI dude, he goes, oh, if it's okay, Hillary was just a silly girl. It's like, what? Really?
Did you wipe your servers? What, you mean like with a cloth?
Oh, God. Wonderful. Okay. Hey, thanks for your call, Kathy. You know, that's some real good food for thought.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. And thank you for the common sense, which we've been trying to express all along.
There you go. Oh, man. So Sam, if you're out there, you know, I sent you a little bit of a chat through the Skype thingajig, and we're going to be lining up our next guest for next hour, which will be Daniel Miller from the Texas Nationals. Tell us more about them, Doc. Don't let me run away with the show.
Well, that's all right. You're doing good. Yeah, we'll have Daniel Miller. He's been involved when Scotland was voting to leave the European Union and the UK. He's been involved when they had the globalist meetings in Russia. He's been involved here trying to get the Republican Party to put on the ballot where you could vote if you don't agree that the U.S. is following the Constitution, which you have the right to secede. And now he's trying to get it on the general ballot. And after the Brexit over there, now it's the Texit here. And they've done a lot of work. They've been really busy. They've been everywhere in the world. And so maybe there's a chance that Texas gets to vote if they're happy with things or not, and how they'd like to proceed. So he'll be on in the next hour. Something that Susie had mentioned to me one of the times I talked to her was, she said when she told the judge, I don't understand, That was her way of expressing that I do not stand under your jurisdiction. And so that's why she never agreed to put her thumbprint or a signature or any of these things, because that would be a contract with something that she didn't feel had the jurisdiction. Was there anything in the courtroom, Alan, that stood out to you that where, you know, like, oh, you could tell that they knew they had made a mistake?
I had no idea about this until almost at the end of the trial, and the prosecutor from the Attorney General office, he stood up and he said, we might have a slight procedural error, you know, and he was, like I said, he was just saying that, you know, she was not actually, she was not actually, her parole had not been violated to that point because the date had not come up where it was supposedly actually, you know, where she either complies or she goes to jail. That's what they put out. I had no idea that, you know, she had not actually ever been put on probation, and, you know, because the appeal was pending. All I'd heard was that the appeal had been dropped. And I didn't know if she'd been arrested before or after that, all that stuff had happened.
You know, one thing, you know, to formalize that whole genre is we went through a jury trial. You know, all that effort went down, and they never did seal the deal. So from what I'm hearing right now, that didn't even happen. There was no contract. Right, there was no contract between Susie and the statutory legal system of Kerr County. You know, there wasn't anything because that never got finalized. So, what are they going to do? Are they going to do the trial again, Doc?
Well, there's our break. So, hold that thought, everybody. And when we come back, we'll have Steve pick that up.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And Dave's back. No, he's not. He was supposed to be driving the ship this
hour.
Yeah,
he's back.
Okay, go ahead.
I just said welcome to Republic of Texas Radio on republicbroadcasting.org. And Steve, go ahead and finish up your thought.
Well, my thought is what actually happened on that trial, maybe that, well, will never end because she never signed up for probation. She doesn't have any intention of putting her thumbprint, signing anything. And so it may just stop there, or something else may happen. I don't know. We're just going to have to watch and see and pay attention. That's it.
Well, you know, this is so confusing. And, Ellen, I want you to finish with your thought here in just a second. I would have never believed, had I not seen this happen and been on the inside, that something like this could happen to a great person who never had been in any trouble in her entire life and certainly didn't think she was doing anything that could get her in trouble, and myself included, trying to do good, trying to use basic common sense, common law, like Kathy was talking about. When you listen to Kathy talk, everything she said, we've all said, and nobody has an answer. So I don't know what's going on. What are your closing thoughts on all that, Alan?
It's almost like the guy from the Attorney General's office, Mr. Kutnick, stood up there when he said that we have a procedural error. It's almost like he knew that something was going on like that, but it's almost like the county attorney, his assistant there, had no idea because, like I said, when she stood up, the judge asked her to stand up, and she kind of stumbled and ummed and ahed and didn't really have a whole lot to say. So I think he kind of blindsided her with that, to tell you the truth. That's the way it looked to me. So I don't know what the whole thing was. But, you know, it was at the end, and he stood up and he said, we might have a slight procedural error here. You know, she was picked up before, you know, such and such a date, which was the actual date that, you know, she actually would have been, you know, violating her probation and yada, yada. So like I said, the whole thing, you know, I wasn't on the inside of the legal process. Last we heard, like I said, was they were going to, you know, revoke her probation and she was going to be, you know, stay in jail. And they let her out of the courtroom. And like I said, I had no idea until I went to work and John told me the next morning that he went and picked her up and she's out, at least for the time being. So it's, I don't know if anyone really exactly know why the reason was, if they don't want the bad press, if there was actual procedural errors, if the writ of mandamus worked. It's kind of up in the air. I don't know. Will we ever know? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that habeas corpus is still going through the system, so who knows what's going on there. But basically, all of us have wondered all this time, why are you locked up? Nobody knew. They wouldn't even tell her. I'm still blown away. I met the guys all from Austin. I met that whole group, and every one of them seemed like they thought they were doing good. They thought they were the patriots. They looked at Susie like she had done some terrible stuff, and all she wanted to do, I mean, what kind of a mother would have just said, take my house, kick me and my son out on the street, and even though I know this injustice happened, I'll let you do what you want. I mean, they should be looking at her saying, wow, we're proud of you, and how can we help? I think we have forgotten in the justice system about being there to serve, to be a public servant. Somehow that got lost, and it is a power thing going on that's just no good at all. Any thoughts, Steve?
Nah, you kind of, you hit it. Really can't add anything.
Well, there's our...
I hate to say it on a Sunday morning, but that's a ballsy woman. She did not flinch in front of him. She kept saying, no, I will not sign. I will not, you know, I do not understand. You know, so yeah, it's I'm proud of her.
Yeah, we don't say fiery redhead lightly. That's a true adjective. Well, there's the break. We'll be back on the other side, and our host will be back driving the show with Daniel Miller, and Alan Kutcher and myself will be here helping out along the way. Please stay with us.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends. We are.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.